Good morning, this is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. This is the September 23rd, 2023 in-person annual meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners. This meeting is also available telephonically for access by the public. CJ Rotella, the Director of Information Technology for Rhode Island Housing, will provide information on this.
Good morning, this is CJ Rotella. This meeting will be recorded and available for your review on Rhode Island Housing's website within 3 to 5 business days after this meeting. Except for specific Rhode Island Housing staff participating in the meeting, all callers will be muted during the meeting. To prevent any background noise or feedback, we ask that participants please mute your telephone if you are not speaking. If during the meeting anyone is having technical difficulties with the audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-457-1240. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Corinne Myers, General Counsel speaking. This is the annual meeting of the Board of Commissioners of Rhode Island Housing. All members of the board are appearing this morning in person in keeping with the Open Meetings Act. Additional access is being provided by a teleconference. If the teleconference is interrupted for any reason, we will stop the meeting until audio can be restored. Immediately following this meeting this morning, briefly convene the Rhode Island Housing Development Corporation and the Rhode Island Housing Equity Corporation, two subsidiaries, for their annual meetings in keeping with past practice. Chairman Pryor will preside this morning and will be voting by voice vote, if that's okay with you, Chairman.
Certainly.
Meeting participants, please do state your name prior to speaking each and every time for the benefit of our minute taker. And if telephone participants would please their lines, that would allow us to proceed without interruption. With that, I'll turn it over to Chairman Pryor to call the meeting to order.
Thank you, Corey. Thank you, Carol. Good morning, everyone. Great to be with you. This is Stephen Pryor. I'm calling the meeting to order. It is 9:40 a.m., and I'm going to ask Carol to go ahead and conduct the roll.
Thank you, certainly. Commissioner McAllister?
Here.
Commissioner Orr?
Here.
Commissioner Pryor?
Here.
Commissioner Warren?
Here.
Commissioner Designee Craven?
Here.
Commissioner Designee?
Here.
Chairman?
Once again, great to be with you. I'm going to, before I get into remarks, introduce the minutes of Board Action 1A. We have two items to this effect. First, may I request a motion to approve. This is on the June 15th minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second, Kevin Orr.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion, including edits? Any commentary? Corey, would you conduct the voice vote?
Certainly. Commissioners, all those in favor of approving the minutes of the Board of Commissioners meeting held on June 15th, 2023, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Hearing only affirmative votes, the motion is approved. Thank you.
On to 1B. This is the August 17th minutes. Anyone ready to move it?
I move favorable action for the minutes.
Thank you. Second.
Second, Robert Craven.
Moved and seconded. Any edits? Or otherwise. Back to Corey.
Commissioners, all those in favor of approving the minutes of the Board of Commissioners meeting held on August 17th, 2023, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved by a unanimous vote. Thank you.
Terrific. I will just once again greet everyone and offer a few remarks. So pleased with the continuing work of this Rhode Island Housing Organization. Grateful on so many fronts. New program implementation, the QAP that we recently passed and moving it forward, and all the collaboration across departments and disciplines as we undertake this new phase of housing work with the great track record of Rhode Island Housing under Carol. Today, as to board business, given that it is the annual meeting as well as our routine meeting, we wanted to make sure that we took care of some internal business as pertains to the Board of Commissioners. This does not require board action per se. It is an action of the chair, but we have more fully constituted the membership of our board committees. And I just want to remind board members that we have sent out your reappointments and your new appointments, and following the end of this meeting, if you want to chat with me anything about anything further, you're extraordinarily welcome, but we will formalize these appointments and make them so. A couple of us have had sidebar conversations, all of them positive, so thank you. The committees, just to remind everyone as they stand, are the Credit Committee, the Management Committee, the Audit Committee, and the Intergovernmental Relations Committee. With the executive team, i.e. Carol and the team, we're talking about possibly another committee as we go forward, TBD, not today. But let me even just pause. Any commissioners have any questions on the board committee appointments? Hearing none, thank you again for your service. I realize that as a volunteer activity, you all are giving not only of your time for the full board meeting, but for these committees, and we're very, very grateful. And the committees do a very good job. That's that. In addition, I want to point out something that's a bigger picture, if you will, or cuts across different agencies, which is that there has, in recent dialogue regarding housing in Rhode Island, been a public call for state planning pertaining to housing, that we need to have a planning framework for how to invest, where to invest, what our goals are for housing production and preservation, what our goals are for affordable housing in particular, and well beyond. Critical agendas and priorities, including equity, including facilitating population growth. How do we weave all of these points together? So the Housing Department issued a solicitation to firms that conduct planning and analysis and strategy, and have recently selected Apt Associates, a well-known global firm that, among its specialties, not its exclusive specialty, does work in housing, and they've paired up with some other partners, notably including the Rhode Island League of Cities and Towns, to do the kind of work I've just described. So look forward to much, much collaboration about this, as with all topics that we work on together. And that concludes my remarks for this morning. So now I want to turn it over to Carol to do the same, and I want to offer congratulations in advance for an award that Carol is about to explain.
Yeah.
So, to you, Ms. Ventura.
Thank you. So we received from Blue Cross Blue Shield a Worksite Health Award for all of the programs that we offer at the agency. So congratulations to our HR group, really drive the work that we do around health. What I would like to do, if I could, is to have the staff from Rhode Island Housing introduce themselves so that Director Warman knows who you are and maybe what you do. So can you start with you, James?
James Comer, Deputy Executive Director. In addition to some agency-wide stuff, I also oversee development, East Housing Rental Services, and Human Resources.
Good morning. Ann Verman. I'm the Director of Real Estate Development, and our group is responsible for all the multifamily production that the corporation undertakes.
Good morning, Elizabeth Bioto, Director of Strategic Initiatives, some of which include our homelessness work and some of our work to co-locate housing and healthcare.
Good morning, Leslie McKnight. I'm the Director of Long Servicing. We service family and multifamily portfolios, as well as administer the Madeline Walker Tax Lien Program.
Good morning, Peter Pagonis, Director of Home Ownership. In addition to working with the Loan Center and our participating lenders, I also work with the Help Center, which is our HUD-approved foreclosure prevention center, and I most recently worked on the Homeowners Assistance Fund, Rhode Island.
Amy.
Amy Randall, Director of Government Relations and Policy.
Dean Harrison, Assistant Director of Development.
Parker, Director of Finance. Phyllis Enable Valley, Deputy General.
Christine Hunsinger is the Chief Strategy and Innovation Officer. We oversee comms, government relations, policy, and data.
Carol LaChapelle, the Chief Financial Officer, overseeing the financial condition of the corporation, as well as the finance, accounting, loan servicing and quality control departments.
I'm Corinne Myers, the general counsel of Rhode Island Housing. Together with Stephen Richard, who's a shareholder at Nixon Peabody and our outside general counsel, we direct the legal function of the company. Happy to be available to any of you for corporate governance questions of any type.
Thank you and welcome.
Absolutely.
So to my report, I want to focus a minute on the down payment assistance that we were so fortunate to receive, a $30 million allocation of fiscal recovery funding. We have provided you with a sheet at your space which outlines where we've been deploying these resources, and I'm pleased to say that we're in 38 cities and towns across the state, rural areas, urban areas, down on the coast. So wonderful to see that people are buying in this market. The interest rates are as high as what they are. The average income of the households are around $90,000, average household size, two persons, and the average age of the buyer is 36. So very happy with this. As a result of the success and the rapid deployment of these resources, we had surplus admin funds available to us. So we have spoken with the secretary about deploying around $740,000 in additional funding back into the program to serve more households. So Peter is working on that as we speak. Anne and her team, they are ramping up for another consolidated funding round, over $50 million in gap funding in addition to 4% and 10% credits, and potentially $34 million in operating subsidy to support the operations of extremely low-income units that will be produced as part of this funding round. You may recall that we invested in a software platform, ProLink, which allows us to capture data in our development group, ship that data over to asset management for long-term management of the assets that we finance. Right now, we're starting to train property managers out in the field so that they have access to this data to help support their operations on site as well. I was happy to join our partner operations stand down at their event on September 14th. It was a great event. Health services on site, medical services, dental services. They were actually convening court for people who had minor traffic violations. It was a great success. And lastly, in late August, we closed on a $125 million bond issuance for our single family club program. Approximately one-third of the bonds are variable rate to optimize the financing structure. We'll deploy $210 million for new single-family loans and use about $15 million to repurchase loans off the line. So, open it up for questions.
Questions, commissioners?
Kevin,
please, Kevin.
Thank you. Carol, please speak to the potential federal government shutdown, what that might mean for PDRA, Housing Choice Voucher, and maybe some of the other ARPA funding that we're seeking from them.
Yeah, I would actually ask Amy if she has any knowledge and feedback around that. She's been closely monitoring what's happening.
Well, you're probably following the news and talking to the folks in the delegation. It sounds like that's pretty much all the information that anybody has in terms of the likelihood of a government shutdown at this point. I know that, and having talked with Kara before, after the last shutdown, the federal government, it sounds like, has taken some steps to move some of those forward funding pieces, like the Section 8 payments for like the following month and everything, forward enough so that minimizing direct disruption, but Kara can probably speak to it better than I could.
Yes, this is Kara. I would say operationally, what they are doing, if there is a contract that has been approved, they're trying to automate the system of drawdown so that you don't need staff, because they may not have staff to actually do the drawdowns, so that the sites will still be able to get their funds. It's not for every program, so, and if there are no staff, things like risk share approval, other types of things, will be delayed. So,
environmental review.
Yeah, environmental,
all of that. Right. So we're monitoring. We were with the district directors yesterday and flagged it for them. so everyone is watching to see what happens. Yeah, yeah. If anything arises, if we have concerns, we'll certainly let them.
Any other questions? Good report, Carol. Thank you. Much appreciated. So we are on to the agenda itself. We are looking at action number 4, election of a vice chair of the Board of Commissioners. I'll offer a quick explanation. Our bylaws provide the officers of the corporation are the chair, vice chair, secretary, and treasurer. Chair is designated by the governor. Executive director serves as secretary. And then Article 4 of Section 2B of the bylaws specifies that the position of vice chair is elected by the board itself, by the commissioners from among its members. There's a recent precedent to consider. It is not the binding precedent, but it is FYI. In September 2021, our then commissioner Jim Thorson, DOA director at the time, was elected by you all as vice chair, you know very well, and he ably stepped in when Nick Witsinas transitioned out. And was the presiding officer. And, of course, he's left government service and also left his board service, so it's been vacant. So given that it's the annual meeting, yet another item that we aim to do as a result is to elect a vice chair. So I want to see whether the commissioners had an idea to that effect.
Kevin, I'd like to make a motion to select Commissioner Wilmer for the vice chair position.
You wondered why you got such a warm welcome.
Commissioner McAllister, I second that.
Moved and seconded. Any questions, objections from the nominee, or otherwise? Anticipation, since there was no objection and anticipation, we are very grateful. Jonathan, we know you have a lot to do. So having been moved and seconded, Corey, are we ready for the vote?
We certainly are.
Okay. Please proceed with taking on the voice vote.
Certainly. This is Corey Meyer speaking. Commissioners, all those in favor of electing Commissioner Jonathan Wilmer to the Vice Chair of the Board of Commissioners, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. For the record, the motion is approved by unanimous vote. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Congratulations.
Director Wilmer. Appreciate it. So on to Board Action 5, approval of prepayment for Maple Gardens 1 Providence, and we're grateful for the ongoing work of Ann Berman and for her presentation here to you, Ann.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Ann Berman. So this RFA is for approval of the prepayment of the loan currently with Omni Maple Gardens Apartments, and this is an administrative action required under the rules that govern our multifamily programs. Omni Development is the sole shareholder of the general partner that owns the development known as Omni Maple Gardens, 90 units of Section 8 housing in Providence. Omni is refinancing the development using a HUD 223F loan. The proceeds of the financing will be used to pay off the existing mortgage, which is approximately $2 million. Omni intends to undertake about $3.5 million worth of repairs, and the balance they intend to use to start the self-fund the preservation of some existing older tax credit units. There is a prepayment penalty associated with the loan payoff of approximately $390,000, which will pay to us at closing. There is an existing regulatory agreement that goes through 2046, and that will remain on the property. There's no change in management. They use Wingate Property Management, and our approval is conditioned upon HUD's approval of the new loan. So we recommend approval of the prepayment. Happy to answer any questions.
Questions, commissioners? None. I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion to approve. This is Steve.
Second.
Second. This is Rob Craven.
Thank you. Any further questions? Or there were none, but any questions at this moment in time? All right, Corey.
This is Corey speaking. Commissioners, all those in favor of approving a prepayment for Maple Gardens 1 in Providence as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved by a unanimous vote. Thank you.
Item 6, approval of amendments to purchasing policies. Right to you, Corey.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. This is Corinne Myers speaking. This is an administrative action to update the agency's purchasing policies to reflect a change in the State Purchases Act that was enacted in the most recent legislative session. The act had the effect of modestly increasing the thresholds for small purchases from $10,000 to $25,000 for construction and $5,000 to $10,000 for everything else. As you may recall, we use the State Purchases Act as our basis for policy alignment. The change will go into effect simultaneously with the new legislation on December 31st, if approved. Any questions?
Anything, anybody? Good explanation. Yielding no questions, is there a motion?
I make a motion to approve. This is Steve.
Second. Question? Is there one?
Second, this is Robert Craven.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion or questions?
Thank you. This is Corinne Myers speaking. Commissioners, all those in favor of approving amendments to the purchasing policies as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Hearing no opposition, the motion is approved. Thank you.
On to Board Action 7, approval of compensation. Job Executive Officer and Senior Management. I'm going to ask you.
Yes, thank you. With this action, we're seeking ratification and approval of compensation levels and job descriptions of the executive director and senior management. We're required by the Accountability Transparency Act to collect data and post the information on our website. In July of 2021, we engaged MGT to conduct a compensation study agency-wide and to conduct a standalone analysis of the ED position. We provided the salary grades, an executive compensation review at Attachment A, and job descriptions for senior management at Attachment B. We aren't recommending any changes, material changes, to any of the descriptions or compensation. This action will merely allow us to comply with the act.
Any questions, commissioners? I'll just ask on the quasi-governmental entities of the state, inclusive of this HFA, are required to do that compensation study on a periodic basis.
Yeah.
You've done it, so to your credit. What's the rhythm on that again? What's the cycle in doing that?
I don't think it's prescribed.
Okay.
Is it prescribed within the act? Is it every 3?
It is not prescribed in the act. This is Corinne Myers speaking. My understanding is that Rhode Island Housing does the compensation study as the market dictates. We begin to receive certain indicators that we're not keeping up with market in our hiring, and that's typically our indication that it's time to RFP for a new professional service provider to assist us with a compensation study and establish a new scale.
Okay. Very good. All right. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve. This is Steve.
Is there a second?
I'll second. This is Sarah Cabral.
Thank you. Seconded. Any further discussion or questions? Or you take the vote?
Absolutely. All those in favor of approving the compensation and job descriptions of the executive officer and senior management, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Hearing no opposition, the motion is approved. Thank you.
Very good. On to item 8. Approval engagement of consultant for housing and healthcare partnership toolkit corporation for supportive housing to Elizabeth Bioto. This is Elizabeth.
Thank you. This is Elizabeth Bioto. This request for action is for approval of to engage a consultant to develop a housing and healthcare partnership toolkit. So you may remember just over a year ago, Rhode Island Housing was pleased to be awarded $150,000 from NCSHA and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And the goal of that award was to create a planning process for awardees, which we've been engaging on over the last year, and we're culminating at the end of this calendar year. And the end goal is to create a plan that will outline how we proceed with our work to co-locate supportive housing, which means affordable housing co-located with supportive services from healthcare partners going forward after this year. So as part of our planning effort, we identified the need to create a toolkit for Rhode Island healthcare partners to partner with our housing development partners, our property managers, to really integrate healthcare and supportive services into their affordable housing developments. So we issued an RFP in July of 2023, seeking proposals from qualified firms to help us create that toolkit. We received three proposals in response and convened a committee of the deputy executive director, the chief strategy officer, and staff from our executive division to review each proposal. And at this time, we are recommending engaging the Corporation for Supportive Housing to create the toolkit. They currently are providing intense technical assistance to supportive housing stakeholders nationally, and they also had a very wonderful suggestion on how to utilize their work here in Rhode Island. So we're planning to steering committee of local developers, property managers, and healthcare partners to guide their work to make sure what they create will work here. We are asking for your approval today of $124,500 to engage this consultant and expect the toolkit to be delivered by the end of December 2020. Happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions?
This is Kevin.
Please, Kevin.
I think this is a tremendous program. It has fantastic merit. I'm really happy to see that we're pushing through with this, with the grant that we received. You mentioned, Elizabeth, that this was for just supportive housing. Is that true, or would this also extend to, say, maybe some independent living facilities for seniors that might want to partner with organizations?
That's a great question. Thank you. We are focusing the plan we're writing on affordable housing developments co-located with supportive services, but a lot of the partnerships that we are utilizing also provide support in those types of developments that you're talking about and projects that you're talking about. So I hope our work will extend and have broader reach.
Great. And just a second follow-up, just from my own personal experience and dealing with this, there's a lot of generic information out there. Mm-hmm. I think the toolkit is a fantastic idea. Will it offer specific guidance, say, to specific situation here in Rhode Island, even with contact information for persons at various organizations, to really make it easy for a housing provider to get in touch and
Yes, that's absolutely the plan, for both the plan that we are crafting at Rhode Island Housing in response to this award and for the toolkit. Thank you.
We certainly hope that there will be more dollars coming from the foundation once we close out our work.
Yeah. Great. Any other questions? I have what I expect to be a quick one. There's reference to a summit, Elizabeth, in the materials, and you just expressing the materials that this was anticipated but might be at a later time. I have no stake in this, no horse in this race. I'm just curious, what was the thinking on the summit? Are you still planning on one, et cetera?
We are still thinking about one. So the initial RFP included this consultant, requesting this consultant to help us plan and execute a summit. Hopefully, we were thinking about January to sort of celebrate the release of the plan and kick off the partnerships that we've been spurring. At this time, we wanted to focus on getting the toolkit crafted. But we've actually already had exploratory conversations with this consultant, and we have the other proposals that we received that we could always utilize to execute the summit at a later time. We're thinking and hoping to still do that in 2024. We're just not sure the exact timeline.
Makes sense to me.
I'm sorry, I have a new question.
Please.
This is Jonathan. What do you think the relationship might be with the Executive Office of Health Services doing this?
They will be a key partner in this, and I hope a member of the steering committee that I mentioned that will help guide this consultant's work to make sure their leadership in the Medicaid space, for example, is reflected accurately and to your point, in a way that will work for Rhode Island locally moving forward.
So the hope is for the consultant to at least interview or talk to the individuals.
Absolutely.
Anything else, anybody? Is there a motion?
I make a motion. This is Robert Craven.
And a second?
Second, this is Steve.
Any further discussion or questions? Corey, would you please take the vote?
This is Corinne Myers speaking. All those in favor of approving the engagement of a consultant for Housing and Healthcare Partnership Toolkit, namely the Corporation for Supportive Housing, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Item 9, approval of engagement of Janitorial Services Contractor Go-To Services, LLC, to our Deputy Executive Director, James Comer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This request for action is approval to engage Janitorial Services Company to provide night cleaning of the Slade Gar and Earl buildings, our two buildings here that form our headquarters. This is typically a contract that's procured annually. The two buildings consist of about 72,000 square feet. The services rendered will be typical janitorial services, including carpet vacuuming, individual trash and recycling disposal, cleaning of common spaces, things of that nature. In May of 2023, we issued a request for proposals seeking proposals from qualified firms. We received 11 responses. The responding firms were a good mix of size and capacity, number of employees, and prior experience. We had an internal group that reviewed each one of these, and Go-To Services LLC earned the highest score of the 11 firms. We submitted references for them, and they received positive endorsements. The total cost for this contract is $117,000 annually, and we will be back again to procure it again next year to make sure we're getting the best prices. But we're very confident this is also a minority business enterprise as well. So that's a great opportunity for us. Any questions?
Anything, commissioners? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion, please.
Kevin Morris, silver.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Jonathan, second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion or comments? Corey, please take the vote.
Commissioners, all those in favor of improving the engagement of janitorial services contractor, namely Go-To Services LLC, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The ayes appear to have it, with the commissioners unanimously voting in the affirmative. Thank you.
Action 10, approval of appointment of MERS corporate signing officers, corporate signing officers, and Peter Pagonis is going to present this, please.
Thank you, Chairman. This RFA is for the approval of MERS corporate signing officers. MERS, which stands for Mortgage Electronic Registration Systems, is an electric registration system that tracks ownership and mortgage servicing rights of mortgages throughout the country. Rhode Island Housing began working with the MERS system in 2016, and each year we obtain a corporate resolution from MERS whereby we designate certain executives at Rhode Island Housing to perform certain functions on behalf of MERS, such as mortgage discharges. A year ago, we updated the board on these corporate officers and thought it would be prudent, given the change in staffing, to do so the same this year. We asked that the Chief Financial Officer, the Assistant Deputy Director of Loan Servicing, the Director of Home Ownership, and the Assistant Directors of Loan Servicing and Home Ownership are assume this role once again. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? I'll entertain a motion, please.
Make a motion to approve. This is Steve.
Is there a second? Second shot at questions. Ready to roll, Corey.
This is Corey Meyer speaking. Commissioners, all those in favor of approving the appointment of MERS corporate signing officers as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. For the record, the motion is approved.
Thank you. Board Action 11, approval of FY24 Michael S. Van Leesten Memorial Awards Program Funding. Very pleased with this item and turning it to James Comer for presentation.
Me.
It's actually Christine.
Oh, no. Okay. Sorry.
Curveball.
This is Chris Munsinger. This request for action is for approval to fund the fiscal year 2024 Michael S. Van Leesten Memorial Awards Program. The awards program honors the life and work of Michael Dan Leeson, who was dedicated to improving the lives of Rhode Islanders through his business leadership, civil rights activism, and public service. Michael Dan Leeson previously served as the chairman of the Rhode Island Board. The awards program consists of a $5,000 scholarship for students pursuing building construction or a related field, a $5,000 scholarship for a student pursuing an academic degree related to the housing field, and a summer fellowship for a student to develop professional experience in housing policy and research and analysis through an in-depth process. In order to attract a greater number of diverse applicants, Rhode Island Housing desires to provide the funding to Rhode Island, the Rhode Island College Foundation and New England Institute of Technology to administer these scholarships. Jill Van Leeson, Michael's daughter, sits on that committee, as well as Stacey Wasserman, who works at Rhode Island Housing and assists in reviewing the applications. So this is our request for approval to provide that funding to those two institutions to carry this through.
What a wonderful tribute to Michael Van Leeson. Really grateful for this. Any questions or comments? Well presented, Christine. I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve. This is Steve.
Second.
I'll second. Kevin Hart.
Moved in second. Second shot. Questions? None. Corey, let's take the vote.
This is Corey Myers. All those in favor of approving the fiscal year 2024 Michael S. Van Leeson Memorial Awards Program funding, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. The ayes appear to have it. The motion is approved. Thank you.
On to Action 12, approval of engagement of residential real estate brokerage firms. And for this matter, we're going to hear from Leslie McKnight.
Thank you, Chairman. This request for action is for Rhode Island Housing to engage a roster of residential real estate brokerage firms to assist in the disposition of properties Rhode Island Housing has obtained title through through mortgagee foreclosure, tax sale foreclosure, or deed in lieu of foreclosure. The disposition process may require listing some of the REO properties on the open market, which requires engaging a real estate brokerage firm to handle this process. In April, we issued an RFP through which proposals were sought for qualified real estate brokerage firms to provide services for the agency's single-family mortgage loan servicing portfolio. The RFP was posted on Rhode Island Housing's website and the website for the State of Rhode Island Division of Purchases. Also distributed to Rhode Island Housing's RFP email distribution list. 16 applications were received and were reviewed and scored by a committee of staff members from across the agency. Scoring was based on the criteria set forth in Attachment B. Firms selected will be compensated based on a commission basis per listing. The top scoring firms include a combination of existing real estate brokers who currently provide this service to us and new brokerage firms who are first-time applicants. We are requesting approval to engage the top seven scoring brokerage firms. Westcott Properties, an existing brokerage firm. Max Preferred, an existing brokerage firm. Max Flagship, an existing brokerage firm. Slocum Homes, an existing brokerage firm. Keller Williams Ponte Group, a new broker. Keller Williams Coastal, a new brokerage firm. And Century 21 Seabits, a new brokerage firm. The engagement will be for a three-year term. Additional one-year term. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions?
This is a quick question. I apologize in advance. This is not a question for the specific action, but it just prompted a little thought on my part. Do we have any income restrictions, or do we target the resale of these homes to a particular group?
So in general, we do not. However, we do have a program that we've had in place for several years. It's called the First Look Program. So before we actually put any of our REO out in the open market, through a listing agent, we have a group pre-approved, mostly community development agencies, who have the ability to bid on those properties. So they have the ability to purchase them and resell them. And when they resell them, they have to resell them under a restriction. So the answer is yes and no. If they're not purchased through the First Look program by one of the approved CDCs, then they will be put on the open market. But we're seeing a lot more activity with the First Look program. We're seeing a lot of interest by the CDC partners, I think primarily because they have funding sources available to them now for acquisition and rehabilitation. I think one of the most recent successes that we've had is in Little Compton. The land in Little Compton is actually acquired. Single-family home is to redevelop the long-term deed restricted housing. Happy.
Thank you. Any other questions?
This is Jonathan. Can you give a sense of just the volume of properties we're talking about?
Yeah, so we did, when we decided how many realtors to select, we did do a look back. And obviously COVID, you know, is a big issue in terms of what the statistics look like. But if we go back over the past 8 years, 2015 to 2022, we had an average of about 34 listings per year. If we take out the COVID numbers, that would go up to about 48 listings. During COVID, we had the moratorium. However, right now, we have a really strong real estate market, so a lot of the properties are actually sold at the foreclosure sale to third parties. So we're not anticipating, at least within the next year or so, taking in very many properties.
Any more questions?
They're all licensed
individuals.
They
are. Yep. Which is okay. Got it. Questions or comments? I'll entertain a motion, please.
Motion to approve, Mr. Steve.
Second.
Second is
having been further questions or comments.
This is Corey. Commissioners, all those in favor of approving the engagement of residential real estate brokerage firms as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With one recusal and five affirmative votes, the motion is approved. Thank you.
Thank you, Corey. Board Action 13, approval of delegation of corporate authority. And Corey, that item is yours to present.
Yes, this is Corey speaking. This is an action regarding signatory authority. It is for authorization of designated officers and employees to execute and deliver contracts, documents, or instruments, any of which may be entered into by Rhode Island Housing under its Enabling Act. This designation authorizes our chair, vice chair, executive director, or her designee, deputy executive director, and chief financial officer to sign on behalf of the corporation. This designation will supersede any previous designation. Staff considers this an annual housekeeping matter. RI Housing's corporate signatory authority was last updated by the board at its annual meeting in September 2022. Our goal is to review and renew the authority approximately on an annual basis to ensure for any changes in title, staffing, or reorganization of functions. I'm happy to answer any of your questions.
Commissioners, questions? Hearing none, is there a motion?
So moved. This is Rob.
Is there a second?
Second, this is Steve.
Second shot at questions or comments. All right, Corey, let's proceed with both.
Thank you. All those in favor of approving the delegation of corporate authority as presented at this meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Hearing no opposition, the motion is approved. Thank you.
Radicals of this meeting, don't pack up your stuff because we have other business today at this table. But given that we are done on this agenda, there's no further business. I am going to request a motion that we adjourn. Is there one?
Motion to adjourn, Mr. Steve.
Is there a second?
Second is John.
Anyone want to discuss conceptually or practically the idea of adjourning, especially in the context of not leaving? Hearing none, let's take the voice vote.
All those in favor of adjourning this meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved. Thank you.
All right. Shall we move on to the Development Corporation?
I think we may shut this down and re-record.
Sure.
CJ, can you terminate the meeting and then reopen?
Yes.